B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'll light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long.
Dan Shaughnessy joins us now here on Zolak and Bertrand to start the noontime hour. Hardy's in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I'm at home. Zoe is at home. Dan Shaughnessy is at home as well with many, many people in his house. How are you holding up over there, Dan?
Well, we're hunkered down. That's all I can say. It's a hunkering down time for everybody. We just have a lot of bodies.
All right, do you worry about the bats and how this thing may have been transferred and the bats and that Wuhan market and all that?
The bats have been under control for like a year and a half now. It's been good.
But their saliva, it's like you can catch it. You catch it from the saliva, right?
Thank God it's not bat season. That's generally when it's really hot is bat season. So we're in the clear on that one. Yeah.
Is that right? I didn't know there was a season for bats.
Yeah, they come inside and gather in the attic and hang upside down. Yeah.
Dan Shaughnessy with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Dan, we started off the show today talking about the procedure that Chris Sale underwent, we assume, yesterday. Yes. I'm wondering if that's true. And I want to ask you, Dan, you've been sort of following this closely over the last couple of weeks. It's my understanding from following your tweets that you've been asking the team about this and when this was going to happen. Is that right?
Oh, sure. We were on this all last week. I was on the phone with Time Bloom for like 20 minutes last week. I mean, they wouldn't say anything on the record. They would not disclose. I mean, this was the night before Syndergaard. I mean, the Mets, you know, they just said, okay, we're doing this tomorrow. Here's the doctor. Here's the hospital. Here's where we're doing it. And that was sort of the tipping point. Like, why are the Sox so secretive about this? And, you know, we know it's important in the future of the team, et cetera. We know it's a sensitive issue. Heim Bloom was very sensitive when he talked about it, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago when it was disclosed that he needed it, when they kind of waited too long and then got caught in the middle of the pandemic for this. So, yeah, we've been asking for answers. And Alex Speer actually broke the story, I think, between 5 and 6 yesterday. And then after that, there was the Sox got themselves together and announced there would be a press conference that night. And they came forward with the announcement. But I'm not sure they would have had we not broken the story in the first place. But anyway, they did have a press conference, and there were some things in there. I mean, we understand that they were going to do this. So they kind of got boxed into the pandemic because they waited so long. And I understand professionally it's in the interest of the team, but they just can't help themselves. I mean, it's not a good optic for Heim Bloom to be talking about Chris Sale's livelihood as the reason for this. This is elective surgery, which the team chose to do in the middle of a pandemic. They couldn't do it in Florida, so they had to go to L.A.
Okay.
There's rules against it in Florida.
Like, if you don't get sick and you can't do your – if you get sick and you can't do your job – and you end up not making money, that's where it really affects your livelihood. Now, he has a guaranteed contract regardless of how good or how bad the elbow ends up turning out after this.
Right. He's getting $145 million for the next 5 years. So this is not about his livelihood, his ability to feed his family. It is about his professional livelihood. I understand that.
It's
so
dying
now,
with the
having
player.
Done this, he can get back. They could cap him back next July, et cetera. There may be some inadvertent things about the pandemic that helped the Red Sox, one of which is there's no season this year. Mookie Betts, you know, the Sox look good. That they were so prescient that they got three bodies for a guy who never played a day for the Dodgers, and then he went into pre-agency. That could be that. And now, having done the surgery in the middle of the pandemic, Sale will be, you know, hopefully for him, able to pitch late next, you know, July, August.
Yeah, this thing gets him completely off the radar. You're not sitting here bitching about start number two or three from your number three guy and what a mess this could have been at the start of the year for this team with Sale being out.
Absolutely. I mean, they would be facing their home opener scheduled for Thursday, and that was the mighty White Sox coming in. But they would be in the middle of a three-game series in Baltimore right now and probably using regular openers. There's no starting pitchers on that team right now if they were to play.
Dan, is it possible that Sale's surgery, and I ask this because of the way you just presented that this probably wouldn't even have been announced by the team had it not been for Alex Speer. Is it possible that the surgery did not take place yesterday, it didn't happen this week, that it may have happened 10 days ago, in theory, and now we're just finding out about it?
Well, anything's possible, but that would be a level of lying that I would not assign to them. I mean, that would mean that they completely fabricated. They said he did it yesterday. It was his birthday. They said it was yesterday, the announcement. I mean, it was a lot of people. I know O'Halloran and Chaim Bloom were in the conference call last night, and they announced it was done yesterday. So that I would certainly not believe they would go to that level.
Right.
Go ahead. How has this affected Globe employees, Dan, and people that cover sports? And
you know, yeah. Like you guys are doing a great job putting on programming 4 hours a day, and the Globe is the same thing. We had an 8 or 10 page section on Sunday. All the notes columns were there. You know, guys are coming up with creative stories. I think more than, like, the Washington Post doesn't have a sports section anymore. They just gave their reporters to news and said, have at it. We need more bodies for this. And I think we understand, as you guys do there, that our population really relies on sports talk, reading about sports, that they care about it. And even with no games, it's kind of on us to come up with stuff that'll keep it going. So I'm carrying my regular schedule. I'm keeping all these notes here and stuff to come at. And you guys are doing the same. It's not easy, but I think it's a service that's good for people that are hemmed up in their house all day and can't really watch any live games.
Dan, what about these investigations, as you wrote about? Be a good time to maybe drop for Manfred to drop the news on the Red Sox, or the NFL to drop their findings on the Patriots? What do you think about the possibility of that happening? My thought is there's no shot we get it, given the backdrop of everything happening in the country.
I mean, this is never going to settle down. Manfred said the investigation for the Red Sox is over. He hasn't had time to, I don't know, write the report or whatever. That thing's ready to be dropped. It's just a timing issue. I'm not sure. They said they'll do it before the season starts. Well, that's plenty of time. So it could be this month, next month, April, May, June. Who knows when they're going to be playing baseball again. But, yeah, I think let's just get it over with. I mean, I don't think they're going to get accused of any insensitivity at this point, because it's everybody's living the same life here. The NFL is carrying on. They're having their draft, and they had their free agency. And so baseball can issue its reports at this point. I mean, I don't know what they're waiting for in that. And same with the Patriot thing. I mean, that's just a matter of they need to know what the deal is if they're going to lose a draft pick before the draft. And they got
drafts in a couple weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah,
3 weeks before Thursday.
Get those things out there, and you know, we'll all live with them. But they will be minimized now. In both instances, they're not going to get a lot of play, and I don't think either one of them is a very big deal anyway.
We're talking with Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. Dan, the idea of having a shortened NBA season or a shortened NHL season or no season at all, you know, this is sort of the back and forth that we've been having this week. What do you prefer? Do you prefer a shortened season this year and a shortened season next year in those two leagues, or would you scrap what is left and start up fresh, hopefully, in the fall?
I'd still like to see him give it a go. Short this year, short next year, just to have something as soon as, you know, we're all able to gather again. I think the ice is an issue in the Northeast cities for the hockey. If it's, you know, July, August hockey, I just think that's an issue when they try to do it day after day in Boston, New York, Chicago, et cetera. But I'd like to see him give it a try in the NBA, to me, absolutely. Even if you play in empty gyms there, I mean, they got players, they're fit, they're ready to go. Let's give us something to watch. Yeah, I'd go short in both directions. I hope they're able to do that.
How do you feel about this? Go ahead, Zoe.
No, go ahead, Beetle.
I was going to say, how do you feel about these proposals that Zoe and I have been talking about? And Zoe and I haven't really given it a lot of consideration because I think it's sort of far-fetched, but trying to put all these athletes into some sort of Olympic Village, if you will, to keep them away and isolate them and have them continue to play games in places where they don't have anything but themselves and the fields or courts or whatever it may be.
Yeah, they'd have great medical care, and it would be television programming for everybody else. And they would also be able to resolve. I'm sure there's a lot of players on teams that would like to see this completed. You know, if you're the Bucks, you'd like to show that you're the best team in the league this year, not have it go away. I mean, the old Expos in 94 never got to find out what they might have been able to do. The best team they ever had never found out what it could do, and they lived with that forever. And I think you've got teams in both sports that would like to see that through. And certainly those of us at home, we're greedy. We're sports fans. We want to see some playoff games.
Well, look at you and your crazy, weird stories. I mean, imagine if we had this secret society and you were allowed to cover it. You would be at the ice machine on floor three. And, oh, my God, look up. There's Tom Brady. There's Patrick Mahomes. There's Bill Belichick and Al Davis's kid. I mean.
Hey, Zoe, you're giving me ideas right now. That'll probably be in the Globe this weekend.
Attaboy.
Everything is fodder right now. Everything is material. We're always working.
Have you caught any old games, Dan, on whether it be ESPN or any of these reruns?
Yeah,
if you had a game you could see again that hasn't been rerun, you got something in mind that you've been looking for?
Yeah, 84 NBA Finals, Celtics-Lakers. I mean, I've seen bits of it because of the 30 for 30s and whatnot, Celtics-Lakers. But, yeah, 84 NBA Finals, I want that. I like the older stuff, the old grainy footage, I know, because those are my memories. I understand more of it's recent, and I get that. I walked into 28-3 the other day. That was great. It's just astounding how the Atlanta, how badly they sucked, how much they just played back on their heels. I mean, it was just appalling, you know, the stuff you'd see. And then, you know, watching the 78 playoff game with Red Sox-Yanks, everybody's shorting up on the bat. I mean, Bucky Dent, he's choking up like 4 inches when he hits that home run. And a lot of them are doing it. Of course, the pace is better. They're throwing it. They're pitching it. Games are being played. In the Red Sox outfield, it didn't occur to me. Rice played right field in that game, which means every outfielder that they had been an MVP. Rice in right, Lynn in center, and Yaz in left. And just, you know, watching the 86, the Buckner game, John McNamara despicable to the end, still talking about he didn't put Dave Stapleton out there because his teammates called him shaky, and then Bruce Hurst coming on TV and saying, we never called him that. I mean, it's just like, it's been great revisiting some of this old stuff. And, yeah, I can't get enough of it. More.
Real quick, and I know we're up against it here, but my last one real quick for you, that 28-3. Now, you were down there covering it in Houston, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
now, there are times at the end of those games, I remember when I was covering it, not calling them, that they sequestered us down for like the final 6 minutes and we had to go watch it off some tube down in some room.
Oh.
What happened at the end of that game? Did you stay up top or were you already on your way down?
We're upstairs, yeah. We're hacking to make print editions and all that stuff, so we're totally upstairs. And you're trying to get sound off the podium. And of course, all the Patriot fans are down there just crushing Goodell. I mean, that was the best Super Bowl ever. I mean, the city, the week, I mean, the game, that's still my favorite. I know, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff. I mean, the Malcolm Butler game and whatnot. But I just thought, you know, against Atlanta in Houston that week and all the Goodell stuff that led up to it, that was the greatest.
Dan, just before I let you go, I'm considering starting the 75 World Series, which I have obtained on DVD. Am I in for something good there?
Absolutely. Go to game when Teon throws 163 pitches in game 4 or 5. I forget, they're in Cincinnati. He never comes out. He goes 9 innings, and he just staggers to the finish. It's the greatest.
All right, Dan. Dan, appreciate the time. Stay safe, stay healthy, and hang in there.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand. We'll get a check of the action update, and we're right back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Those crazy nights I do remember. Those were the best times.
617-779-0985, the phone number. Open phone lines if you want to jump on board. Hardy's Air Town Fair Tire Studios.
What? You know, what am I doing?
Hey! You know, we haven't talked to in a while? Jim in Connecticut. Cool. Where the hell's he been?
I don't know, Zoe. Not sure. I was saying you're in the Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester, Hardy. That's what I was saying.
Any changes, Hardy? Here. Any more? Is it like more people in the building? Fewer? Like, we want up to date stuff in there. Is it all dark?
There's no one here. It's me, Jim, Tom, couple of Adam 12's down in one of the studios.
Oh my God, he shaved. He looks 50 pounds lighter.
He shaved his beard. Thank God. And that's about it. Rick was here earlier. Probably still here. That's it. Oh, Jimmy Stewart. Of course. Jimmy Stewart's always here.
Hey.
Of course.
I haven't left.
Of course. Get to 985thesportshub.com to download our app if you haven't done that already. Or you can always tell your smart speaker to play 985 The Sports Hub, which I know many of you are already doing at home. And we just want to say thank you for doing that. We appreciate that. Obviously, a lot of people have moved their work to home. So thanks for taking us home with you. If you're usually listening at work and you're now doing it at home, thanks. 617-779-0985. Started off the day talking about Chris Sale undergoing Tommy John surgery, which he did according to the team and according to their release. He had it and did it this week and underwent surgery, an elective procedure, is what he had, and he did it at an outpatient surgical facility in L.A. that was performed by Neil Eletrash, very famous doctor. It's Neil Eletrash and it's Dr. James Andrews when it comes to these types of surgeries, whether it be Tommy John, whether it be ACL reconstruction. These are guys that are, you know, top of the class, if you will, yeah, when it comes to having those procedures. The question is, why is Chris Sale having elective procedures on his elbow while the rest of the world and the rest of our world fights a pandemic? And I told you, the first thing I thought of when I saw this story yesterday, and as Dan Shaughnessy mentioned last segment, this probably would not have been announced had Alex Spear not broken the story himself. Spear found out that it had happened, and then the Red Sox were forced to announce it.
Yeah, they would probably love to do this in the cover of night, right?
Right, so they probably had no plans of announcing it, and they were going to try and keep it hush-hush. Spear reports it. They have to announce it following that report, and so they did. All I could think about was a shortage of PPE across the country to the point where our own governor here in Massachusetts has tried to set up an online portal to make it easy for people to donate any spare N95 masks that they have. And you've got companies like I saw Bauer stepping up trying to make masks. I don't think that they had ever created medical masks, shields, that is, before. Right. And you've got sort of an all-hands-on-deck mentality to preserve whatever equipment there is. We're seeing these stories of doctors and nurses being issued one mask per shift. And we're now seeing that there's going to be plans to try and sanitize those pieces of equipment and those masks to reuse them. And doctors and nurses already are reusing them. My first thought was, as we've seen this on the front lines every single day, if you've got friends, family that work in the field, they are begging right now. They are begging for masks. They are begging for this equipment. They're going home to their families after working 12 or more hours in an ER with inadequate equipment and then going home to their own families, and they're terrified about it. All I want to know was, did Neil Eletrash have everything he needed yesterday? Did Dr. Eletrash have all the masks and shields and gowns that he wanted to have? I'm just curious. Curious to know that answer. Performing a wholly elective surgery that does not impact the quality of life for Chris Sale at all during this time. And that was my first thought. Not that there was a bed being robbed from another potential patient or any of these other things. This is an outpatient surgical center. I don't think it's a hospital that is at all treating patients that have COVID-19.
Correct.
I thought of the doctors and the nurses that are begging for equipment right now. So I have a friend who's a nurse, right?
Yep.
She has another friend that this week was sewing masks for her and her colleagues and had acquired, you know, the big boxy filters that you see? Maybe you got them in your house, though, that go in, you know, HVAC units vents,
I
right?
I slide them in. I buy them by the bundles, five of them.
Right, buy them at the hardware store, wherever you want to get them.
Yep.
Cutting those apart and taking the filter portion of that and sewing that in between layers of cloth while making these masks.
It's pretty smart.
To try and make them better.
I've heard stories. My cousin's a surgeon down in Carolina. I have another one that's an anesthetist. The people are taking coffee filters and using gum bands to sort of rig those. Now, it's not the same type of filter, obviously, that you know the 3M makes or somebody else. New Balance is now trying to make the filters for you or the masks. But you at least trust that more so than having to reuse the same filter over and over for several days on end.
You know the page protectors you buy at Staples?
Yeah.
Or to you know, put in a three-ring binder and put pages into them?
Yeah.
There are pictures of nurses who have been using that as a shield.
Yeah, and you punch it
out. Taping a page protector to their forehead. That's where we're at right now. And that's the first thing I thought of. I did not think of this as someone's care being taken away from them or a bed being taken away from someone. I thought of that first and foremost. How much PPE did you waste on that? Did you waste on that surgery yesterday? While others who are waiting for organ transplants are being told, yeah, we've got to put that on hold. But no, make sure you push the pitcher to the front of the line. And the Red Sox probably would have liked to have had this go on without anybody knowing. Probably. I think that sucks. I think there are two crowds right now. There is the crowd that is being considerate. There is the crowd that is drastically changing their life to try and, you know, go along with this and try and get this to go away as soon as possible. There are people that are making major changes to their life as a result. And then there are people that just don't give a damn. And I would say these actions fit in the category of, we just don't give a damn. We're concerned more about ourselves and what we're doing. So we're just going to do what we do. And that's where I would put this. Yeah. I would put it in
baseball,
that category.
Next year's baseball season would be in jeopardy for him if he didn't get it done. Right?
But there are two groups, and there are two segments in this too, Beetle. There are a group of people who say, that's the way it's always been. You know, rich people get to do rich people things, and people who have special treatment and special privileges in everyday life are getting that now. And, that's the way it is, and that's the way it should be. And then there are a group of people who say, wait a second, I thought we were all in this together. I thought these were unprecedented times. I thought it was okay to raise your hand or to speak up and say, hey, this is a bunch of crap. And you're going to fall into one of those two categories. You're either going to throw your hands up and say, rich get richer and, you know, the elbows get healthier if you're a guy like Chris Sale and the Red Sox. Or you can be somebody who says, hey, wait a second. I call BS on this. Are we in the midst of a crisis? Are we all in this together or not? Because you can't have it both ways. You can't say we're all in this together and then be totally fine if he wants to go off and, you know, fly across the country and get elective surgery right now. If you got the money to do it, go do it. BS, I call on that. What? You know, every day this thing gets worse. Every day someone else we know loses a job or is laid off or is somehow affected by this negatively. Nobody's doing well as a result of this. Not one person do I know is saying, like, you know what? This ended up being a good thing. Nope, not so far. Chris Sale, though, he got his surgery, though. And there is a segment of society and says, that's the way it is, and you have to be okay with that. At what point is it okay to speak up and say, no, I'm not okay with that? Even if it's not Chris Sale's fault. And to your point earlier, Beetle, they wanted him to do it and they organized it for him. I don't know how much you put the blame on him, but somebody at an organizational level should have stopped themselves and said, hold on a second. Is this the right thing to be doing right now?
How about the doctor himself?
and the doctor himself, anybody.
The doctor himself.
There were
100
people.
The line, too.
There were 100 people who had to be in on this decision. Not one of them raised a strong enough objection to stop it from happening.
Right. I mean, I would say to the doctor himself, you know, for all the people you know in the field, let's say there were 5 masks used in that room. That's, you know, 5 more clean masks that someone else could have had in L.A. yesterday. You know, that could have been maybe one person, one fewer person in the medical field that contracts the virus as a result of having a handful of more masks and gowns and everything else that was used. And so if that contributed to one more person getting it, it's one person too many. That's how I feel about it. What a waste. Absolute waste of materials in a time when we are desperate to get them to the people that are on the front lines right now. You know, you can hold up your signs and say, thank you, nurses, thank you, doctors. But here's something you should be pissed about when stuff like this is going on. This should not be happening. 617-779-0985. You got thoughts on it? We'll get to them next. Here are the headlines with Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, I hear this, and I think it's some cheeseball townie that bought his or hers grandfather's Crown Vic off him, had the windows tinted, got the air freshener on, you got the back windows down, seat all the way back, and you're just cruising down Main Street of town, looking for trouble. Is this Tommy T?
Stevie B.
Stevie B. Same thing. Jim, this has to be from your house.
This is part of the basement cleaning. This is Lawrence.
Here it is. Oh, this is your wife's?
Oh, yeah.
Did she used to have a perm?
Yeah, big hair. Big hair.
Yeah, big hair. Damn right she did.
617-779-0985. Let's go to your calls. Thoughts on Chris Sale coming in. Let's go to Doug, who's in Virginia. Doug.
Hey guys, this is not so much about Chris Sale, but about the misuse of health equipment. You know how difficult it's been for people to hospitals to get testing kits for the coronavirus. And I feel like the NBA kind of sneaky gave every one of their players a test. I'm going by the whole Marcus Smart thing. No symptoms, never had any symptoms, but somehow got a test. And he got at least one more that said that he was clean of the coronavirus, maybe more than one. So I wonder if hospitals could have used those kits to screen people coming in more.
Yeah, you know what? That is interesting on Marcus Smart.
They could have.
Remember the day after we had some news that Jason Tatum had a birthday party somewhere downtown? A couple guys missed practice the next day. Was it food poisoning or had fevers? Then after that, about a week or so after that, Marcus Smart tests positive for coronavirus. Did he go in sick? We didn't get any reports of that, right? That he had a fever or he had aches and pains? He was actually asymptomatic.
Jason Tatum's birthday was March 3rd.
There's a party Sunday night. A couple of them missed practice Monday. Tatum was one of them. I think Smart was one.
When did he announce he's been? I'm trying to. I don't know.
It was recently.
I don't know if that timeline.
It wasn't
going
all the way back to March. I'm not saying he got it then, but it's kind of funny. Like he was out then. We knew the symptoms. or that he had issues that Monday that they missed practice and maybe even into Tuesday, but yet you really didn't get any reporting on it. Then you just found out that he has tested positive for coronavirus and that he was asymptomatic.
He tested positive. What was that? Let's see.
It's about a week
after. Like on the 18th or so?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
All right, so that's 15 full days later from the party, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
They played the Jazz on the 6th.
Yeah. And they didn't seem to think that that game was what would have. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think the party had anything to do with it.
Saying it did. It's just funny. You get more information of like how bad they felt after that party somewhat, but you didn't get much information on how bad he felt prior to testing positive for COVID-19.
They also weren't playing, so he wasn't like he was missing games.
But to the caller's point, they probably all got screened, tested.
So, yeah, the whole league did.
Wow, you have it. Oh, okay.
Now, Brian's in Stoneham. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Just calling about, it just seems really inappropriate to have any elective surgeries right now, because from what I gather, the medications needed to sedate patients on ventilators are the same medications used to sedate patients during surgery. And I guess according to people I've talked to, they're beginning to see shortages of these medications. So another thing, I don't know if someone's brought that up yet, and there are people who are trying to get cardiac stents, and they're being turned away.
Medication.
Yeah, if that's the case, I mean, that's just another thing. You know, people being turned away for other surgeries because they need that medication to sedate patients. It just, again, just another example of this kind of them trying to cover up their errors. So, thank you.
Okay, Brian. No, we hadn't heard that. That's new to us.
Yeah.
Jerry's in Rhode Island. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, guys. First, just let me say that I just want to thank you guys for continuing to do what you're doing. You have no idea how much you're helping me get through this.
It's great.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm a huge fan, by the way. Diehard Patriots, everything, just diehard sports fan. So I'm calling because I wasn't able to call right in the beginning of the show, Beetle, but as soon as you mentioned ventilators, I am extremely pissed off and angry because the same day Chris Sale had surgery, you can go to YouTube last night on the daily social, well, it's called the social distancing show now. He's not calling it whatever. But he actually interviewed the governor of California. And he said how in need of ventilators they are. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And then to hear that gentleman before me say about the medication, how selfish is this? I'm sorry. Selfish.
What happened?
He'll upset there.
Yep. He believes it's very selfish. He's angered by it. He's angered by this, by the use of the equipment that was used in the room, and how selfish and unthoughtful it was. Thoughtless. Yep. Tom is in Londonderry on the Red Sox in all of this. What do you think, Tom?
I don't even know where to start with this whole thing. First off, my wife is a hospice nurse, and we are 2 weeks away from having our first child be born. So, and she's exposed to all of this that's going on right now. Thankfully, though, her work has put her now in the office to do some desk work until she is ready to go on leave to give birth to our child. Thankfully for that. Me, I work for a big vending corporation company, a big beverage company. I'm out in the grocery stores every single day exposing myself to this garbage. Some of the nasty, disgusting habits that I see every day that people are doing. It's not even the virus that's the issue anymore. It's the people. The people are the issue right now because you guys don't know how to stay clean. You people don't get it. Vito, you said the third party that doesn't take this seriously. Ah, to hell with it. Like the Red Sox right now with the whole Chris Sale thing going to get a surgery done now. It's those people that are the issue right now. And that's why I guess I'm irritated about it with the Red Sox when I hear this because, again, I know my wife has friends who are in different parts of the medical field. Some are, work with dire patients in ER, et cetera, et cetera. She works with dying sick patients, hospice care, stuff like that. So she's not as exposed to it as these people would be, infectious disease wards, stuff like that. And I hear what they need. I hear what they're missing. I hear what they're going through every single day. Some of them have young kids that they have to come home to every single day after, disinfecting themselves and stuff like that. Sometimes they have to keep their kids away from them until they properly disinfect themselves and their belongings so their kids don't get it. And then I hear this, and I hear that, in the way that it sounded like the Red Sox, once again, were more concerned about doing what they want, but without having the public backlash to go along with it. And to me, the Red Sox ownership is just as stupid and naive and idiotic as the third party of people who just don't understand the severity of this right now. If you don't think the virus is that big of a deal, it's fine. But the fact that it is spreading and you can't keep yourselves clean, that's the issue. And when you've got people like the Red Sox who are telling their staff, hey, forget everything that's going on. Go get this surgery done that you don't really need right now because you're not going to pitch anyway for another year. It's absolutely mind-bogglingly aggravating.
Yep. There are those. I like what he just said there, what Tom said. It's not the virus. It's the people. It's a great, it's a hell of a point. It's the people.
It takes one a-hole to ruin it for maybe, you know, 10 families that have been self-isolating, and someone goes to pick up something at a store and you didn't think it was worth your time to clean yourself and you could infect all those families. That's how quick this thing spreads.
Now, well, but that's it, Zoe. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who are probably transmitting this and they have no idea. There's a lot of people walking around who are asymptomatic and they might be carrier, which is why, you know, all this stuff, which...
I brought up the cash machine yesterday. You know, like, nobody's talked about, but okay, say somebody's got to put the cash in a cash machine.
Well, how long ago were we doing this where it seemed like some of these measures were really, really overblown? I mean, the first one was probably going back to the Ivy League basketball tournament where we all threw up our hands and said,
What
are they doing? Like, what a completely misinformed, boneheaded move this was, right?
You know,
not allowing the tournament to go on. And then within 2 days, leagues are starting to suspend play and everything else. And everything that's taken place, we've becoming gradually more and more used to, because I think gradually people are starting to understand you can be as careful as you want, but until you stop mingling around other people, this thing is going to continue to spread. And the longer it spreads, longer stuff is shut down, the longer the economy suffers, and the longer real people suffer real consequences like losing jobs and not having enough money to pay rent, to pay mortgage, and if you're a business owner, to pay your employees, all these things. It's this trickle-down effect. So we're going to listen to what we're being told and trust the experts and trust our government leaders when they tell us, don't go out. Don't mingle around other people. If you do have to go to work, do it in a room by yourself with no one else around you, separated by glass from someone else, or stay at home. Like, do these things. And why people are so offended when we ask questions about people who are not following these orders and flying off to get elective surgeries, I don't know. I think you're either on board with this thing and you understand the gravity of it, or you're not.
Yeah.
We'll get to more of your calls on this coming up next. And also at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, a proposal for a sporting event that could happen. It could be a pay-per-view, and I think it could go on even in these times. I think it could happen soon. To be quite honest, yes, there is hope to have some sports. We'll tell you what that is coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll get to more of your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction. Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is the phone number for you. Let's go back to your phones with Tony, who's in Holbrook. Hey, Tony.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I personally want to thank all of you guys, and I mean all of you guys, for giving us, trying to give us our lives in keeping it as normal as possible in this unfortunate time. And I just really have a hard time with all these professional teams spending ridiculous amounts of money for something that we unfortunately do not know if we're going to have it this year. I mean, I, for myself, I'm a 40-year-old male. I have MS. I've had MS since 23, and I live each day to the best of my ability. And I personally think every single one of our providers out there, the service providers, for putting their lives for taking care of people that unfortunately may lose their lives.
Yeah, I understand your concern and the way you feel. And these teams are going to still continue to operate somewhat within their own bubble and try and plan accordingly that if they do have a season, or how do we get this one guy ready, or their concerns to get their injured people healthy. You know, they've got to do what they got to do, and I sort of understand that. Like, that operation's going to take place. Like, the Beatles point, though, but it's more about the equipment, like the ventilator, you know, to have that thing handy. Eventually, Chris L. came around. He got discharged that day. You know, but that's the real issue, is that. But these teams are going to continue to operate and spend money, and that's the way they're going to look at it, that they're a business, and they have to continue to operate. And they have to try to attempt to deal with this. They're in this too. Like, they're not in, and they're not meeting, and they're not gathering in groups. They're not working out. But they're going to try and function and adapt and do the best they can with their respective sport. I do understand that. We are in a sports world. We do a sports talk show, and they're not just going to completely stop doing things. And I think that'd be tough to ask them to do that, but try and do it the smartest way. And then you're asking, is this the smartest way to handle this operating procedure that went on?
Frank is in
concerns. Go ahead.
Yeah. Frank in Marshfield. Take it away, Frank.
Hey, Beatles. Hey. So stay healthy and safe, fellas. Does anyone know when this was actually scheduled? Because my feeling is it was probably scheduled weeks in advance. I don't really have a huge problem with it. You know, he wants to be ready when the season resumes, if it resumes. I know it's a year-long recovery, but we don't even know if there's going to be baseball. So, you know, maybe he's getting himself ready for next September. I don't
disagree.
Have a huge problem with it.
I don't think it was scheduled way, way in advance here. I think, obviously, they wanted Dr. James Andrews to do it first, right?
All right. Well, Frank's living completely oblivious to everything that's going on out there.
Yeah. And I think a window opened up and something became available, and they said, let's get him out west and do it. I mean, there's some planning it needs to go into it, but I don't think this was planned way in advance. Do you?
I mean, it couldn't have been planned that far in advance. They just made this determination within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and Andrews was supposed to be the guy, and he can't do it.
I mean, the day that he went out and tried to throw the ball, and then they announced it, when that happened, we said, yeah, this is what you get for having waited. Now you're going to need a Tommy John surgery at a time when elective procedures have been canceled. We said that the day it was announced. We were well aware of this issue as soon as it happened and they made the determination that they were going to need this done. And we were critical of the team on that day because they had screwed around with this thing since last August.
Right.
Max in the truck. What's up, Max?
Hey, what's up, guys? Sup, Zo?
How you doing?
What's up, Max?
So I think this whole thing with Chris Sale getting surgery through this whole crisis is unbelievable. It's like, dude, you should have got the surgery last year. Why are you waiting till now when we're in a crisis of this coronavirus? I just don't get it. And I blame the Red Sox. I don't blame Chris Sale. Also, Zo, I heard Max Lane on the Greg Hill show yesterday.
Yeah.
I do sound just like him.
You do sound like him, especially when you come on air, like at the beginning.
Hey!
So I ask him every time, is this Max Lane in the truck? So,
617-779-0985, the telephone number. There is a chance we have sports in the very near future. Something that I think can still go on with all of the restrictions that are in place right now, with all of the physical distancing measures that are being implemented. I think this could happen soon. We'll tell you what it is. I want to get Hardy's thoughts on it. We'll do that in 90 seconds.
I want to know what it is. I don't even want to wait.
I can't wait for Hardy's thoughts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.